Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How y'all doing? What's going on, people? As always, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for taking the time out of your day to listen to little old me for 20 minutes. I really appreciate it. I know your time is valuable. So thank you. Appreciate it. If there are any new podcast listeners because they heard me on ONJ, welcome. I do a short 20-minute podcast where I rant about the shit that I want to talk about. So, welcome to my podcast. I got to make this quick, people. I got to catch a train to Albuquerque in about 14 and a half minutes. So, all right. I think that's going to be my new gag, like the couch gag from The Simpsons where I got to go, hey, I got to get out of here real quick. I got to do blah, blah, blah. So that's the first one. I got to catch a train to Albuquerque. Yeah, I know it kind of sucks, but it's the first one. That's the only one I can think of right now. So that's the new thing, is the I got to get out of here gag. I usually start off with a milestone. And for those who don't know, Miles is my 3.5-year-old, actually almost 4-year-old son. He's with my parents and he'll be home in 2 weeks. But usually I kind of explain, you know, like, hey, he's doing this now, or he did this funny thing, or he did this crazy thing. But he hasn't done anything crazy as of late. Oh, I guess I can mention the fact whenever my wife and I FaceTime him, he doesn't like to talk the entire time. And it's basically like watching. Remember on Cops when they were like show the chase and the camera is like bouncing around, it's upside down, you can't see shit. That's basically what it's like FaceTiming a 3-year-old. It's just like watching. It's like watching Cops. It's just the phone is bouncing around. He'll put you in a box. He put us in the microwave in a play set for like 15 minutes. So, but whenever we go, hey, look, we gotta go, that's when he wants to talk. So anytime we say bye, that's when he decides he wants to talk to mom and dad. But so 2 more weeks and he'll be home. We got him into a daycare, so that should be fun for him. It's expensive, man. But it's a lot of money, but it's definitely a lot cheaper than other places. But still, man, they fucking rape you on the daycare, man, because you got to have it. You got to have it. I actually had somebody be like, man, just take them over here, man. It's like $300 a month. It's like, man, I'm not taking my son to the equivalent of like the shady dude who would just give you a car inspection sticker. If you leave it there for an hour and you come back, he's like, yeah, that's $10. That's my son. That's a living person. I'm just not gonna leave them anywhere. So yeah, it's gonna cost. I need that peace of mind. I'm not that cheap. So what do I want to get into? I really didn't write a whole lot this week. So I'm kind of winging this thing. But so what's been going on? Well, look, I guess I can talk about this first. I'll probably end up talking. This might be a comedy heavy. Actually, you know what? Let me save that. I guess another person was shot and killed in Baltimore, and this woman had a shotgun. She was holding her kid, man. And you know what? I don't know. I haven't seen the video. People are saying I should check it out, but I'm so over it, man. I'm so over it. I can't. Not over it in the sense that I don't care anymore. It's too devastating for me. I can't. You know. I'm not gonna go seek out that video. You know, I'll watch the news and if they happen to show it, but I don't wanna see a woman get shot and killed, you know, holding her 5-year-old son. I don't wanna see it. I can't. So hopefully on both sides, cooler heads prevail and nothing happens. You know, there's no, you know, protests that break out into violence and all that kind of stuff, you know. But this shit has to stop. We really got to start trying to work this out, man. It's not going to go away by ignoring it. And, you know, people just saying Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, and Blue Lives Matter. At some point in time, man, you got to come sit down at the table and talk. Okay? It's sad. It's sad when almost anyone dies. So let's be honest. It's not sad when anyone dies. When mostly anyone dies, it's sad. Like, I didn't give a fuck when Osama bin Laden died. I really didn't. Some people, honestly, they deserve to die. I know that, I mean, that sounds harsh, but it's true. Some motherfuckers just don't deserve to walk around. It's just like life is, it's too precious. You only get one. It's just like, why are you even here? You know? You're ruining it for everybody. I might start doing that to shitty people when they're just somewhere and they're just being an asshole and ruin it. But I'm gonna say, do you realize none of us can get this time back? You just ruined a moment that I don't even care if it's at the grocery store. I don't care how mundane it is. I'm just gonna start calling people out. So you realize none of us can ever get this time back. You just literally ruined 5 minutes of my life. I can never get that back. It's gone. I appreciate that. Maybe we should start looking at life like that, man. Just realizing like it's all fleeting. And we should try to cherish every minute of it. Ugh. But see, I forgot where I was going with all this. But so yeah, it's just sad, man, when you see a true tragedy. So it's just hopefully, like I said, cooler heads prevail. And there's no violence on each side, and we can figure out what happened. So, you know, rest in peace to her, and hopefully her child isn't traumatized for too long. But I'm pretty sure that will affect his entire life. But hopefully, you know, he can grow up and become a productive member of society and not let this tragedy, you know, like ruin his entire life. So, all right, I'm bringing it down. This Donald Trump shit, man, this is, you know, I think people have said this before. It was funny at first. And I think for me, it was funnier for a lot longer time than it was for some people. For me, I think just because of my brain and how I think. But I can say this, and I try to be open-minded about people's political views and opinions. I mean, even though, like, black Republicans just make me, I get upset when I hear that, you know, especially if they're certain black Republicans, they irk me. But I still try to respect their point of view and, you know, say, hey, you know what, this person, they're their own man, they're their own woman, they have their opinions. Not mine, but I respect that. I try hard to do that. I try hard to not be a hypocrite and judge people too harshly on their political views. But honestly, dude, if you're voting for that guy, I mean you just have to be a fucking moron. I'm sorry. You just have to be a complete idiot. And I'm not saying if you vote for Hillary that, you know, you're a genius. But how can you honestly look at that man and think that he is fit to be the president of the United States of America? How do you think that that man can occupy the most powerful position on the planet? You know, I was talking to my wife about this the other day, a couple of days ago. In my entire life, I've never had a president where in the back of my mind, I was almost afraid to go to sleep. And you wake up that next morning and one of your first thoughts is like, did our president do something stupid or say something stupid? You know, they all say things we don't like. You and Obama, I'm like, really, bro, you gonna say that? But I just feel like he would have everybody almost just embarrassed. It's just like, you just don't know. Like some drunk dude at a party. He's like Kramer from Seinfeld. They bring certain people around us. It's like, oh shit, I just have a feeling he's just going to say something completely stupid and ruin this entire thing. And that's how I feel about Donald Trump. Smart man, not a very wise man. Seems like a fun guy. But just the way he just panders, it doesn't matter what it is. That guy has no opinions. He has said nothing his entire campaign, and people eat that shit up. No, he said nothing. Oh, believe me, I know. Oh, which is a good thing, by the way. I mean, he says nothing. I love that. I love that. He says nothing. And I would challenge anyone that's really voting for him to ask yourself, the behavior you've seen from him, how would you feel if that was one of your children acting that way in public? And when I do these shows, I'll ask people like, hey, honestly, who's voting for Donald Trump? And people won't even man up and admit it. And to me, that's another sign. If you won't openly admit that you're going to vote for this guy, that should just let you know he is not a good fucking candidate for the president of the United States of America. If you can't even admit publicly, that's awful. That is awful. To me, that's like deep down, you know there's something wrong about it. You know there's something wrong about it, because if you thought it was truly right, you wouldn't be embarrassed. You wouldn't be. But the fact that you won't publicly admit it to let you know something's wrong. And I'll say this too. This whole stuff, the whole thing that's going on with his wife and the girl-on-girl pictures and all that kind of stuff, man, it's just like, I get it. You know, it's out. It's been out in the public for a long time, and it's not like they hacked this computer or you know they found some files and they leaked it. It's just been out there, and they're just putting it out there again. But I don't believe in that shit. That's his wife. I don't care how unclassy or pornographic it is. It's like, that's that man's wife. You shouldn't go after people's families, man. You shouldn't. Now, I feel like in the case of Bill Clinton, it's a little different because he used to be the president, and he's in the public eye, and he used to be a government official, whatever. But to a certain degree, I can understand maybe going after him to a certain degree, saying shit. But Trump's wife, it's just like, that's, to me, that should just be off limits, man. Just off limits. I don't like people talking shit about Obama's kids or just crossing the line saying shit about Michelle's body. I feel like that crosses the line. And I feel like that should be across the board. The man's wife should be off limits. Sorry. But it is going to be interesting to see how, you know, the religious right will try to spin this, you know, these photos into something different or come up with excuses as to why it was okay. It was 20 years ago. You know, all of a sudden it's like, well, we're a Christian nation. We should be forgiving. Have you ever noticed that, though? We claim to be such a religious country when we actually want to exclude people from stuff. It's never an inclusion thing. Not wanting gays to get married or somehow something to do with immigration and letting foreigners in because of another religion. Well, we're a Christian nation and they won't fit in with us. Segregation, slavery. It's always used to like divide people. I mean, we have black and white churches in this country. That's fucked up. I thought Jesus loved everybody. What's that song? Yellow, black, and white. It's been so long since I went to church. How Jesus loves all the children and all the different colors. People sing that in an all-white church or an all-black church. How could you sing that song and you look around, it's just like nothing but black people or white people? Crazy. So, all right, moving on to my last topic. I didn't want to bore people with... I think I probably just bore people with this episode anyway. I don't know. It's just this political shit, man, is getting out of hand. It really is. I actually got into a discussion/argument with a couple people last week, and they tried to tell me they felt like people years ago were more open to ideas back in like the 50s and 60s. Like people were willing to sit down and talk. I'm like, really? I was like, if that was the case, you wouldn't have saw civil rights marches. You wouldn't have saw people getting fucking malt beverages and coffee and milkshakes and burgers dumped in their head in diners. I just hate how people just look at the past like everything was so much better. People were so much more open-minded. Yeah, that was the word. People were way more open-minded back in the day about hearing people out. And I'm like, that's just not the case. This is the best time in America. Yes, there's still problems, but to try to tell me that back in the day people were more open-minded to hearing ideas. Just the idea of having a black person on the fucking sports team was just like, whoa. Just on the team. And then certain positions, they were like, okay, we definitely can't have a black quarterback. That's just outrageous. So I can't believe that people actually think that people were more open-minded 50 years ago. 50 years ago, people were more open-minded and willing to sit down and have a discussion. How stupid is that? Ugh. All right, so let me get to my main story here. My wife and I went down to D.C. on Monday, and I finally got to see one Michael Che. If that name sounds familiar, it's because he's on SNL. He's the black dude who does the Weekend Update. He was very, very briefly a correspondent on The Daily Show, because I think he used to be a writer on SNL, then took a correspondent show spot over on Daily Show. And like he was there for like literally a week, and they offered him the daily Weekend Update desk, and he went back to SNL. And he's been doing that for the last couple of years. And I've heard so much hype about Michael Che is a beast. Michael Che is this. Michael Che is that. He doesn't have a whole lot out on the internet as far as his stand up goes. He did some late night on Seth Meyers, and he had a half hour special, which I thought was pretty good a couple of years ago. But I always wanted to see like a full set, like a full hour. So saw he was in town, bought tickets. We drove up to D.C. And let me tell you, man, Michael Che is a goddamn beast when it comes to comedy. A beast, people. I mean, I was jealous. I was downright jealous. I was just like, this is even fair. And here's the best part. His hour is not even finished. There's some still pretty raw jokes in there, you know? But it's funny, like the longer I've been doing comedy, the more I appreciate the process more than the finished product. Not to say that I don't like to see someone special, but if someone was like, hey, do you want to go see Bill Burr film his special? Or would you rather go see him 6 months into working on his hour, I would want to go see the 6 months in. The process is what inspires me. Just watching him talk through bits, watching stuff really not work, because I love to see how comics get out of a bit that doesn't work. And not to say that happened quite often, and it happened a couple of times where I was like, there's something there. He doesn't know how to finish it yet. And I really appreciate that, man. It was so dope. But the jokes that he has down are just brilliant jokes. And what I really love is he's talking about something. And I understand there's different types of comedy for everybody. Some people just like clever puns where, you know, they don't really have a point of view. They just like to have clever jokes, wordplay, which is great. I love that too. But I love comedy that actually talks about what's going on in the world. And he has some political stuff, some racial stuff. I mean, just like silly stuff. But it was just like he had it all in there. And man, it was a great show. I really enjoyed it, man. So if you when you get a chance, check out Michael Che. I don't know if he tours a whole lot because of the SNL. I think they're coming back here soon. I don't know how often he gets out, but check him out, man. And definitely keep an eye out for his hour. I think he's going to be doing one later this year. But, I mean, to see him work, man, it was very inspiring. And it just made me want to write. Like, I felt like after the show, I was like, man, I just kept saying, man, I just kept saying it to myself, like, damn. It just really inspired me to write. And before I went to the show, I was actually kind of afraid I was going to be tired driving home, but I was just so keyed up and inspired from his performance and watching him work on his hour that, I mean, I got home and I still couldn't sleep. So that was a real inspiration for me. And it was eye-opening in the sense that I need to stop being afraid to, like, not have great sets all the time. And I thought I had gotten over that. But now that I'm hosting, like, a lot of shows here in town, I always feel like I got to be on my A game because I'm opening the show. But watching him, it's just like, you know what? I got to say fuck all that. If it just doesn't go well, I know I'm still a good comic, you know. I still need to grow, though. I don't need to prove it to everybody at that time, you know. That'll come when I do the bigger shows. But even if I'm hosting an open mic, it's like I still need to put myself out there and try stuff and not be afraid of it falling flat. But there's a show. That's the show. Thanks. The email is negropleaseradio@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter and on Instagram @ChrisAllenComedy. Peace out.